from Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 59 of the Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40k experience. My name's Jordan. I'm joined by Liam.
Thanks, Denise, for welcoming me.
And Denise.
Yoda, great to be here.
Today we'll be reviewing some of the previews that GW showed all over the weekend and the last couple of weeks, and what things we're looking forward to in the great and glorious 9th edition of Warhammer 40,000.
Changes here. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
How's everyone going?
Good. Good to have you back on the show, Jordan.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's very good. Got some time away from work and the kids, so let's record.
Nice. So in the app today, I mean, everyone that's been, you know, not living under a rock and gets into their Comp 40K has probably seen all these announcements over the last few weeks. We are not going into, you know, every itty-bitty detail, and, you know, we're not here to bore you with, you know, everything you've already seen. We're going to briefly cover the changes, and we're really going to take a deep dive into the mindset that a good competitive player will want to have going into the new edition, and how to process these changes and really pick something, you know, pick lists, pick factions, things like that. That'll be good once we have more information, because obviously we're dealing with an incomplete lot of information at the moment. But yeah, I guess, Liam, would you like to start covering just some of the new models that came out very quickly?
Oh. So look, I think we all knew like new Necrons were coming. I don't think I really realized how many new Necrons we were going to get.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to start listing the number of models that GW previewed and showed in that video, piece of artwork that's hilarious, where they've like labeled them. What is that? What are those? Where are these?
That's the best.
they're completely like, you know, making fun of themselves, and I appreciate that. I think the Necron models look absolutely sick. They've really gone, they've sort of kept some of that Egyptian vibe, but some of the models have taken a bit more of an inspiration from some of the sort of evil sci-fi robot schemes that you see in other, like sort of other pop culture references. And I think it looks really, really awesome. But, you know, off in the distance, you see that Silent King model sitting on his big ass throne. Man, that is a sick model. I cannot wait to see that. But then, you know, you've got the Marines. There's more Primaris Marines. There is a Primaris Lieutenant.
Yeah, I saw
shield.
That. What a legend, mate.
Yeah. I actually reckon this confirms Codex Primaris Lieutenants is the next supplement being released. Is my opinion. But no, the Marine models are cool. I think the Primaris Bikers are cool. Give you a bit more of a fast Primaris option when they come out. You know, assault intercessors, especially with some of the rules we talk about, I think might be really, really valuable on the table. And overall, I mean, that box set is going to fly off shelves. Yeah. GW stocks are on the up. Like, they're on the up.
I'm excited to see Codex Primaris Lieutenants having more models in the Harlequin range, that's for sure. but yeah, man.
Shots fired.
So, I guess we'll
dive
into
there's a lot of ammunition there, Jordan. A lot of ammunition.
Oh, there's so much ammunition.
I guess we'll go briefly running through the changes that were announced by our good friend James Workshop. The first one that I thought was pretty cool were changes to CP. Something about rewarding mono faction.
Yeah. So you hit us, Jordan. Hit us with the facts.
All right, I'll hit you with the heavy words. So from what I had gathered, Games Workshop weren't happy with the way that people were taking battalion, battalion, battalion to get CP, or, you know, your brigades, or, and, you know, armies that, like custodes, which had access to crap battalions, they would have to, you know, ally with guards. So they're now looking at your CP being fractioned out to your points level. So if you're playing a 2,000 point game, you'll have, you know, X amount of CP. If you're playing a 1,500 point battle, this much CP. So it's interesting. I'm hoping they don't go too rich on the CP front. Like, some armies, like, that just don't need all the CP. You know, there's some armies out there that just don't need it. But, you know, that's what they're talking about. They're doing the changes. I'm not an expert, but it sounds better than what it was previously. It's going to change.
Yeah, sorry, Jordan. It sounds like it pulls the bottom end up for armies that really don't have much CP. And hopefully,
exactly.
It doesn't it doesn't pull down the guys that need all the CP. Because obviously, like, there are some armies that need, like, 3 CP, and there's some armies that need, like, 20, right?
Yeah. So
it's like finding the balance there to not hurt every hurt, you know, big groups of that. But yeah, so we've got the CP changes. The thing that is pretty terrifying for me as a Death Watch player, and you, Liam, as a Horde player, is explosive weapons.
Yeah, that is... That rules league is either going to be terrifying or overall like a good balancing thing. See, I think one thing we should all be keeping in mind with these rules leaks is we don't have the full context for them yet. We're kind of getting these little tidbits. So I wouldn't be too positive or too negative about anything, I guess. Like, let's just sort of, you know, consider them each individually.
Yeah.
But, G-Dub said that with the blasts, what they're doing is, they're making it so that blast weapons, which will apparently in the new rulebook be in the back of the rulebook, that are going to have an index of all the weapons that are blast. And blast weapons will get a maximum number of shots against large groups of infantry. And that sort of means that they'll be much better at killing hordes. Kind of makes sense when you think about it. Like a battle cannon only getting one shot against 30 Gretchen never really made much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, at least there's more little models, there's more chance to hit them, stuff like that. It's trying to replace that butt blast marker we had in 7th without going too overboard. But
yeah, exactly. I think they're trying to bring some of that back, which kind of makes me a bit happy about it, actually, because it means they're getting feedback, they're listening to feedback. Because I know some of the feedback about random shots was, well, why are my blast weapons, or like big explosive guns, so bad at killing gigantic swarms of infantry and so good at killing single tanks? Never really made much sense. And I think this is a pretty good piece of feedback. Some of the other rules that I think are interesting, I guess, and will really, really change the game is all their sort of pseudo leaks about reserves, terrain, and combat. So they really seem to have made a bit of a focus on completely revamping the terrain rules. Haven't heard anything other than sort of vague promises there, but also they promised us we can put more things in reserve and bring things in from reserve from different sides of the table, which all kind of sound like pretty big buffs to melee armies at first glance, but also, you know, shooting armies now can protect themselves from alpha strikes and heaps of other stuff. It makes it it makes it kind of a bit more complex, I guess, a bit more like chess. You don't really know, you're not just going to go second in some matchups and get wiped off the board. I think some of these things are actually really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got, you know, mentions of, you know, tanks being able to shoot out of combat. We got the mentions the big flyer changes, flying off the board, not dying to movement, which, you know, me and you, Liam, we personally love doing that. But,
wrote a list that specifically abuses that mechanic, and I'm... I feel personally attacked, but fair enough. I mean, that makes sense.
There's better, mate, than having a hemlock fly off the table.
Or three.
Yeah. And the big cool one is the terrain changes that they've announced. Now they've announced they are changing terrain to be, like Jordan said before the episode, to be more of like a third player. And I'm really excited to see what that means. Hopefully we don't just get tabled by Lehman Ross gunlines, but this terrain's actually good. But
if the terrain's like a third player, if I start having conversations with the terrain, my opponent's going to be really alarmed.
That's like bring back Geomancy, man. Bring back the psychic powers. Was it Geomancy the thing that you could pick up a terrain feature at the end of it?
Oh, yes.
I had someone do that to me. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm just going to pick up this ruin, break half your models. Don't worry about it.
No, that's just called playing with Denise. he just smashes the train off the table, rolls his dice off the table.
So I'm just going to plug Hayden Waldark, who did an amazing job of painting Liam's new Chaos Knights. And
will definitely be posting a photo when I use my partner's really good camera. I'll be posting a photo of that. It looks awesome.
Yeah, so I am refusing to play Liam with those models, because I'm going to fall over, put my hand out, and just spike my hand through like three knights, I won't be able to work for 6 months. Because I'm just a clumsy.
Yeah, this army has an uncomfortable amount of spikes. I'm not really sure how I can transport it. yeah, I'm a bit worried. Oh, well.
Yeah, and then there's a few kind of not fully confirmed leaks, but a few little tidbits that some of the commentator said. One of them was saying that combat armies are going to have better ways to get up the table. Mm-hmm. there was also a bit of a suggestion that Deathwatch are going to get everything. So we might get Phobos kill teams, we might get, you know, the cool bikes and stuff, which will actually be ridiculous. Nothing confirmed though, but just people talking. But yeah, I guess the biggest thing we wanted to talk about is, as a player who, you know, wants to do well in the competitive side of things, let's say you're fairly invested already in armies or models, or, you know, even just trying to get better at the game, what's the best mindset to have going into this change? Because, you know, it doesn't look like it's as big an addition change, obviously, as 7th to 8th, but there's still going to be things that change. And a lot of players started playing more competitively in this edition may not have experienced an addition change before. So I guess we'll go one by one. So, Liam, what are you looking at the moment? How are you processing this change? And what things are you focusing on?
Well, the main things for me that I'm focusing on is I don't think any, like, good combos and good builds are not going to work anymore. So I'm not sort of throwing all my lists and stuff out the window. The one thing that I am doing, though, is that I'm trying to build lists that at the moment don't rely on triple battalions or brigades and battalions and stuff like that, because I think a lot of those taxes that those lists need aren't required anymore. So I'm sort of trying to write lists that at least CP-wise are future-proofed, I hope, for 9th edition. I think as well people got to be really, really patient with this sort of transition, because every single edition, the sky is falling for someone somewhere. Someone's Black Templars somewhere are not happy with the edition change. And I'm sorry, but the reality is that the game does have to evolve and change. There is absolutely no point, I guess, decrying the changes and thinking that this is going to be the worst thing ever, because things always change for a reason. And by and large, GW is involving more and more people who are competitively minded. So even though we only have 9 snapshots about this new edition, I'm more positive about this one than I have ever been in the past, because they have the guy who runs Nova, what's his name, involved in the rules.
Mike Brandt.
Yeah. And the fact that they've got him involved makes me super happy. But yeah, sorry, back to the actual question you asked me. Mindset-wise, try to future-proof yourself by not thinking too much about CP, and also think more about your detachments, because you're actually probably not going to need the chaff units that you've got currently.
Yeah, that's actually
unless your list functions with those units.
Yeah, two run.
You know, and I think that's the main thing we need to take. So I've been playing 40K since 3rd edition. I was young when I started playing, and I've seen every single edition come and go. Whether I've been in the hobby or out of it. But when I was playing, like, 5th edition, we were still using some 3rd edition codexes. Like, Drakari or Dark Elder at the time was using a 3rd edition codex in 5th ed. And there was always talk that, you know, those factions never got any love, blah, blah, blah. GW wasn't as proactive as they are now. Right now, like, they FAQ, like, they literally set a calendar on when they were going to put FAQs in place, when they were going to make changes to the edition. They have been so proactive since the start of 8th edition. This is the most competitive version of 40K you can imagine. Like, the tables are filling at tournaments. Like, Nova hit its highest amount of players it's ever had, you know, just last year. You know, we're like, every tournament, everything that's got to do with Games Workshop, it's just, they're so proactive, they're so good with it at the moment, they're on top of it. So I can't see 9th edition being shit. Like, I can only see it being favourable. Like, it's going to have its issues, like every edition does. You know, there's going to be something that will come out within a few months of the builds, hitting tables, people are going to find something broken, but it will get nerfed, like everything else does. You know, and your army will fit in place eventually, like everyone else's army does. You know, we went through different, the Marine meta in 40K. You know, we went through the Broviathan lists. We went through the Castellan Knights. You know, at the start of 8th edition, we were running through conscripts, like hundreds and hundreds of conscripts on the table.
Malefic Lords, like, woo!
You know, all of the edition will, like, yeah, like you said, Liam, the sky might be burning for someone, but, you know, it's only going to burn for so long. And then everything will settle down and you'll be back to where you were. It's just take a deep breath, relax. People are just, mate, I have seen on too many posts, on too many social media groups related to 40K, of people just panicking.
I think it's I've like, left.
Calm the fuck down.
I think I've left about 10, like 8 to 10 groups this week. I was just sick of seeing some of the stuff. But yeah, exactly like you said, Jordan, the way I'm looking at it is there's stuff that we can't control and we don't know, like new rules, new codexes, new data sheets, new ways things interact. The things we can control, I guess, number one, are the assumption that a lot of data sheets that have recently been released or have been released won't change too much, like Psychic Awakening just coming out for, let's say, you know, Saga of the Beast. I really doubt that'll change much in the next 6 months, right? So, you know, you can assume certain things will stay constant. The other thing that is always going to stay constant is your ability and skill as a player. So why not take this time when, you know, we don't know what's going on, sure. We can focus on using what you already have in terms of models and just getting better at the actual game that we have. And that skill set is going to translate into ninth with a few changes, you know, if terrain changes, if interaction changes, sure. But, you know, scoring, healing, holding, being alive at certain points of the game, that's not going to change. So my personal standpoint in this kind of thing is just focus on skill set and then let these new things fall into place around you and then go from there.
Yeah. I agree. We, like, there's things that we do know with this new edition. We know that there's not going to be any more than +1 or -1 to modifiers. That's the highest it goes.
Yeah.
You know, we know there's things that we do know that are coming. So we're like, okay, we don't know what terrain's going to do. It might give infantry +1 or +2. It might give no such thing. It might act as like an invulnerable save. You don't know what's going to happen, but all you need to remember is that Games Workshop have set out, when they created 8th edition, they set out for a task to make a game that played faster. And I would probably say 8th edition is the fastest game of 40k at the moment than it has been in the past. Like, you could knock a game over. You can easily knock a competitive game over now in 2.5, 2 hours, 45 on the clock. Yeah. But, you know, back in 7th, it was a bit harder. Like, I found the game was a lot. It was very finicky and people couldn't keep up to date on rules.
It was less streamlined, wasn't it?
Exactly, and I think now they really have got on top of it, and I personally can't see 9th edition being bad. I can only just see it being good. Like, you know, people are – like, I play a combat army, and you know, one of the goals for my army to do, and you would like this too, Liam, is to wrap, you know, to wrap up units and you know, to wrap up tanks as well. Like, I love that shit. But now they're like, oh, you can't wrap tanks. It's like, that doesn't bother me. It's like, cool, they've just fixed tanks.
Yeah.
It just made them better. It's not going to affect... It doesn't mean I have to throw my whole army in the bin.
That's it, yeah.
It's all this means is I've just got to adapt. Adapt, overcome, every single time. That's all you got to do.
We need the better as a player. That's...
Adapt and overcome. So, and that's how you'll get better in this edition. And ultimately, like, we're all competitive 40k, the ones that are. We are competitive 40k players. Like, there's going to be something in the new rules that, you know, tickles your fancy. It might be something that you want to do. You'd be like, see this, the way the rules are written now, and you might be like, oh, this is my chance to start that, you know, AM, you know, Astra Militarum army that I wanted. I want this massive guard tank army. Well, here's a chance, you know. There's things that people are just panicking about that don't need to. And one thing Games Workshop has said is that all the Psychic Awakening, all the codexes are still relevant. So we know that CP still exists. We know that, you know, your weapon profiles, they wound on this and they wound on that and they hit on this and they hit on that and they have this to negative modifiers. Like, the game is not changing that much. They've just found holes in their game that they want to fix.
Yep.
No,
and I think one of the things that, like, you touched on it just then, Jordan, is probably one of the most important things everyone listening to this can actually do to sort of prepare themselves for 9th edition, and it's to realize that all of the rules that are written now are porting over.
Yep.
It's like all of the software updates still exist, but, you know, the core rules are being changed. Now, what this means is, on the day of release, rules released at the start of the edition might be more or less competitive than they are right now. Everything needs to be revisited. You need to open up your codex again and look at these relics, these stratagems, things that you might not have used before, because if the core mechanics of the game change, then everything you use them for is going to change. Sure, I know it's really important that the Psychic Awakening books, they said, are being written with 9th edition in mind. But some of the older rules as well, they're still going to be in play. And with the change in edition, I think some people might forget about them and leave them behind. Oh, you know, they weren't very competitive in 8th edition, so I'm not going to look at them. But no, you really got to open up your codex and double down on some of the things you haven't read before.
Yep, exactly. And don't, just wait for the new edition. Because the one thing we also do know that Games Workshop have mentioned is that the movement, psychic, shooting, charge, and assault phase, or combat phase, are all the same. They haven't changed. They haven't removed phases and gone. They're sticking to that, which is great, because I think breaking the game down into phases made it better. This changes to Overwatch. So, you know, Tau can now wipe you off the table. No, I'm only joking. They already do that now anyway.
Yeah, now it's
AdMech.
It's definitely
right.
Now AdMech. Let's not derail
which
this
we will
into a witch hunt. Let's just continue.
Which we will talk about next episode. But that... there's nothing that we can do to change it at the moment, and it's exciting for everyone that plays 40K. A competitive 40K players whinged about 8th edition, and they changed the entire edition. You know, I remember the first tournament I went to in 8th edition, and I'm not kidding you, it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. There was a dude, and Nick Standing, he was playing like 4 Storm Ravens and a couple of Storm Talons.
That's
and Gilliman. And, mate, that was the army list. And he would have won that tournament if he hadn't have been seized on in the first game. You know, like that, you just look back at that and go, wow, that's what 40K was. That was 8th edition. And now look at it. It's like we've been through so many different armies that points have changed nonstop. And I think 8th edition was like a buffer to 9th, you know, and then 9th edition is going to be the buffer for 10. And it's just going to keep going. Like it's just going to get better and better until we've got a refined edition. And there's always going to be something that's broken. It's called the meta. And that's how it works.
Yeah. And that's a great point, Jordan. I mean, we're not playing chess, are we? It's not perfect balance. Even in chess, white wins a little bit more because it goes first, stuff like that. I mean, we're playing complete different armies into each other on completely random, I guess, tables that are non-consistent. We're playing different missions every time. You can't expect perfect balance. Stuff's going to still be strong. So, there's no point whinging and whining about that. Just get on with it. Yeah.
One thing that we can all be really positive about is they haven't taken a system of AOS where some players can go twice in the same turn. That is not coming over into 40K.
The double turn. Imagine that.
Double turn for Tau, and then they get to overwatch you with the charge.
Yeah. Corn Berserkers fight 4 times before you can.
Oh, that's right. Oh, and now because you could
do 8 times. You could do 8 times.
And because you've got all the extra CP now, why not fight a third time?
Yeah.
We'll make it 10, make it 11. They'll fight 11 times. There is another thing that was mentioned too. This is exciting for Marine players. There is going to be a change to Astartes Chainswords, which is pretty cool. They haven't mentioned what the changes are, but they say that, an Astartes Chainsword is better in the hands of an Adeptus Astartes than in the hand of a Guardsman. So you're going to probably see some rules around that might change, which is pretty exciting.
Can I make my Guardsman take an Astartes Chainsword into battle and just swing worse but hit harder?
But that'd be like an Eviscerator then, wouldn't it? For him. So, it's exciting. There's so much stuff. There's so much content. And the problem is that we're all reading from the same place, so all of us get chubbies at the same time and we have to tell each other about it.
Jordan, I think I speak for our Marine players everywhere where I say that it's really good that our Marines are getting some new rules. You know, we haven't actually had an update in 11 minutes.
Remember that Marine Codex that came out at the start of 8th? It was so bad, guys. Like, we really need an update.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. See, I have lots of chainswords, so I'm stoked. So I'm just woohoo!
Death Company especially. They've not really seen much play recently, so I think
not at all, mate.
Really bad.
They didn't need a buff.
Yeah, sarcasm is the lowest form of wit. I'm just not winning today.
They really didn't. It was just like, really? You said Adeptus... Like, mate, it'll be like Adeptus Astartes Chainswords. No, Death Company, you get all those Cadian chainswords.
We found this big box from Cadia, and they're yours.
Yeah.
But, I think one thing that is Jordan, you, again, you touched on it before, you know, at the start of 8th edition, when we had tournaments, we had these preposterously extreme armies that I know every couple of months something new sort of rises to the top, but in terms of sheer shock factor, like 5 Storm Ravens in Gilliman or whatever it was quite possibly one of the most boring, easy to play, and feel badsy armies 40k ever produced. It was up there with like the Thunderbrick and the Screamer Star of previous editions. It was so extreme and so ridiculous. So I think that when this new edition comes out and we have a little bit of a, you know, a core rules mechanic change, there is going to be stuff that's unbalanced. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people should be negative about that, because that's inevitable with a change. No amount of playtesting makes a perfect rule set. So keep playing, keep playtesting. Actually, and something I actually wanted to mention this at a later episode, but I'll mention it now. Actually email Games Workshop. I'm serious. Yeah. They have, on their website, they have an email address, which maybe we can put in the show notes for this episode, where they actually want emails about rules.
Yeah.
They want you to email them and be like, hey, is this intended? What's the intent of this rule? Because they are clarifying things. And the millions of players around the world are going to be way better playtesters for them than any amount of hours spent at GW HQ basement checking them out. Like, it's just not going to be the same.
Yeah, like, you can bitch and moan. Like, we have a guy in our chat, James Fuller, and every time there's a rules issue, he just emails Games Workshop. He's like, yeah,
too right.
No point worrying about this, like, arguing about it, like, 200 messages in a chat or a page. Just email GW, and then they'll get a FAQ.
And they will sort it out. It might take them a couple of months, but they will sort it out.
I mean, in the end, you could just do what everyone else does, and you could just go into a post that GW does about anything and just go on there and whinge, because they will definitely love you. And I literally get up in the morning to look for that stuff. I get so excited for it. I'm like, oh, what is some idiot wrote on here today?
I stayed up for the preview, and one guy posted in like the chat. I forget what it was. Like, it was a Twitch stream, right? So in the chat for the Twitch stream, just, you're bad. No context, no anyone, just, you're bad, GW. And I was like, oh, thanks, mate. Thanks for contributing to this conversation. That was good work. Keep up the great work.
It was like when Deathwatch got released. Man, Nate laughed at that phrase.
It was so funny.
It's people just going, why do you hate Deathwatch? It's like, hold on a minute.
Me and you are just counting. Rules. We're just counting our gold coins. Like,
how many Storm Shields can I fit in this squad?
Yeah.
You know, it's that's just how it is, man. It's like, deal with it, Princess Buttercup, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a very exciting time, and I don't think I can wait 2 weeks. I'm pulling my hair out as it is now, trying to wait for these new rules. I'm very excited for this new edition. I think it's going to be really cool. I'm actually not that excited for the new Marine stuff. I couldn't really give a crap, surprisingly. I think it's because I play old Marines. I don't have any Primaris in my army whatsoever. But, I mean, there's now talk of these Assault Intercessors, which is pretty cool. Because, like I said, Marines need more stuff because they just definitely don't have enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you take Assault Intercessors and they're like, oh, I mean, we get an extra attack for a chainsword, and they got this real cool pistol, and you're like, oh, but the chainsword's not good enough. So here you go. Here's like a strength 13, -4, -6 chainsword. That's what the Adeptus are starting.
It's like those like promotional videos on daytime TV when they're like selling you an iron, and every like 5 minutes they're like, but wait, there's more. If you call the next, more.
Even my chainswords have chainswords.
But yeah, like even with that, you know, obviously a lot of people are bashing Marines about, you know, getting too much love and stuff. But they're just, a lot of people collect Marines, man. There's like 7-8 different factions, like actual codexes of actual Marines. So it's fine, and it's gonna, you know, make a lot of people happy. So cool to them. But
no, I mean,
the edition is built around it.
I don't actually, you know, hate Marines.
Yeah, no.
I just I hate Marine players.
I feel attacked.
I'm sorry. No, I don't. I'm kidding.
The Marine player is like the kid that's easy to pick on in the schoolyard, isn't it? but anyway, I mean, any other bits that you guys want to cover in terms of how people should tackle this change and process this change to get the best out of it?
I reckon as well something that's kind of going to be undeniable with the change is some, like, there obviously will be a power, you know, reshift, as I've already mentioned. I think GW's already hinted that mech and, like, big models are going to be a bit more of a thing. And that's kind of evident in the stuff GW's been releasing. Like, you know, over the last couple of years, there has been a bit more of a, maybe a focus on centerpiece models. Like, you know, we've been getting the Gazgul, you know, the Ragnar, the Mephiston, all these cool character models, but also Morty, Magnus, all the other kits over the last couple of years that I think they're going to be trying to give as much love as possible. You know, in their own preview, GW were hyping Lemon Russes and artillery and things like that. So I would hazard that if you can, I'd be packing your las cannons as much as you can at the moment. If you're in a sort of frame where you want to build lists and play games right now, I'd be practicing your anti-tank. That's what I'd probably be doing.
Practice rolling those hair wires, boys.
Four up Harlequin bikes
every day. It's it's going to be interesting what the changes bring to us. And then
other than that, like, everyone just pray to the Omnissiah that terrain rules are very robust, because when we talk about AdMech in the future, wow, there is some the wrath of God is coming through the AdMech codex.
Yeah, I'm going to need a pretty thick wall to stand behind for 5 out of 6 turns.
Like, I don't know what they're making these Imperial hat blocks out of, because I tell you what, this is some, like, planet-busting firepower rolling up through.
Another thing that I picked up on, just over the last couple of Psychic Awakening books, and you guys might have picked up on it too, a lot of stratagems now have come down in CP, so they've gone from, like, 2 being the average to now a lot of them just being 1 CP.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, the changes to command points, like how they go about that. Because, like, if you're reducing the cost of a stratagem and then netting more command points, it's like a recipe for a really bad day. But
yeah.
But then there's one thing I think people might have actually forgotten is with core rules coming, you're going to get core rule stratagems like we did with command point rerolls, interrupt, and auto-pass morale.
Yeah, so like you got the reserves one coming, right?
Yeah, that's it. You might even see other ones, you know. They might release, like, I'm wondering if they're going to release indexes as well. No, with points cost, because that's the other thing people have been stressing about. They've been talking about the points changes. They're like,
they were going to revisit them.
Well, they have that Munitorium field manual or whatever that they released with Chapter Approved, right? That had everything's points.
Yeah. So, like, see, that came out, I think, when did that come out? That was last
year-ish, yeah.
Yeah, and then, so in December, the Psychic Awakening with Blood of Baal came out, which is cool. So all the rules, all the updated Blood Angels rules are in there, which is really good. Because it means when 9th edition drops, points aren't going to change for an army like that. Or, you know, Dark Angels or Grey Knights or Thousand Suns or anyone else that was released after that date.
You say that, but they actually did say in the preview that this gives us a chance to revisit all the points of every model in the game. Is actually what they said.
Yeah.
So you never know. Like that, again, we are talking in hyperbole here. But one of the things that it is worth noting is that, you know, since they announced 9th edition, the only rules to really come out are Engine War. So Engine War, when we see the full points for that, I kind of expect the points in that book to be more of an indication of where things are at in terms of balance and control. And I kind of expect other armies to be brought in line with that when the 9th edition core rules come out. Because again, some of that stuff is very aggressively pointed, but what happens if the game is rebalanced? What if we don't even play 2,000 points anymore? Because James Workshop said that the CP and the amount of terrain will all be much more robustly set out in the rulebook. They're going to say, hey, look, this is the amount of terrain you should have on a table, this is the variety of terrain, and this is how many CP you get for a X size game. What if they say a tournament standard game is 1,500 points? You know, they can well and truly do that.
Yep. I think another thing too, they did talk about, and I mean, it's disgusting to say it on this podcast, narrative. The narrative is, they look like they're changing the narrative a bit to make it a little bit more enjoyable.
Man, Crusade's actually going to be sick.
It does, and that's it. It does sound like a lot of fun. It's going to be hard to pry me away from competitive 40K because I play competitive 40K and I don't have a lot of time for anything else. But it just seems like they're just very proactive. They're doing the right thing, and I think that's what's exciting. We have a lot to look forward to, yeah, and not a lot to be disappointed by.
Sounds like we're getting paid by GW here, eh? We're
Well, dude, actually, I totally agree. James Workshop.
Yeah, James Workshop. JW.
Well, you know who is actually getting paid by Games Workshop? Anyone who bought their shares, because they're up 20% in April. 20% share growth.
Coronavirus.
This is now a finance.
Yeah.
This is now a finance podcast, just FYI. We're going to be talking stocks.
I need to afford some of that shares. It's and there was obviously talk about wait till Christmas this year, so there could be some pretty cool releases around Christmas.
Yeah, man.
There's also a new creation of a 40K website now as well, which is why.
Oh, and the app.
The app. Yeah, that's the new big app. One, boys. Yeah.
You didn't mention the app.
Yeah, they talk about, I think they mentioned about the app being that you can build lists on the app, which is
like Tinder for nerds.
can you find games on the app? Then it will actually be like Tinder for nerds.
Yeah, lot to look forward to, guys.
And on that bombshell,
good night. No,
but yeah, I mean, we got that. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that app goes. You know, with Battlescribe, because a lot of people, you know, use Battlescribe as an easy way to get their rosters going. I mean, people who are playing TTS, there's an easy way to import Battlescribe rosters in TTS, and it takes like 2 minutes and you got a list. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Games Workshop app goes. I'm always someone of the opinion that I will pay like 40, 50 bucks a year to have an app that has all the codexes on it. Like, I will just instantly pay that.
Yep. I would pay a subscription too, rather than however many dollars it is for a book that I then have to, you know, put post-it notes in for all the FAQs. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I'm a Battlescribe, like, I'm a subscriber on that. Like, I pay for that because I think it's worth that value. You know, same thing with the GW app. If it's like 10 bucks a month, let's say that's 120 bucks a year, I would still fucking do it because that's like 2 to 3 codexes, and I'm definitely buying normally more than that a year.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So,
and as well as that, you know, with the list building thing, GW has, you know, tipped their toes in this water before. They actually had, I'm not sure if it was an app or a web builder or something like that, but they had. Oh, no, sorry. It was in the digital editions of the codexes. If you bought them like through the iBook store, at the back of the codexes, you could build a roster in that. And it was the most buggy, unusable program that did not let you do anything of value at all.
Yeah.
So if GW comes out now and goes, hey, look, we've made this battle building app specifically for 9th edition, and it's for, you know, competitive or narrative play, and it's easy to use and it's fast, and it, you know, you can copy paste lists into Facebook Messenger. Let's be realistic; that's kind of like 80% of what I use Battlescribe for. If you can do all of that easily, hell yeah, I'm going to use it. But Battlescribe's pretty perfect as an app, so like my loyalty there, GW's got to do a pretty good job for me to switch.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very functional. The Battlescribe app, it's simple to use. Like, you can be semi-retarded and still use it, so that's why I use it.
I use it every day, I know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and it's good. Let's hope, yeah, the new app that GW releases. I mean, they've got all the funding behind them to really make an app go off. But they need
$2.8 billion company worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're doing a lot of the hard work. So they need to just continue doing that hard work.
Good on them.
Yeah. I guess. Thanks, James Workshop. So, with closing off the episode, you know, just a couple of things. First off, hope everyone's staying safe, and hope you're part of the world. You're doing what you can to, you know, not get sick or whatever. I know in Australia here, we're slowly being able to do more things, but that might not be the same in other parts of the world. But obviously, you know, do what you need to and keep your 40K knowledge up with all the updates. Second thing, we have a new patron. Someone that's not, you know, our parents is supporting the podcast, which is always great. So thank you to Tim Tchaikovsky. Thank you very much for your support. And
you're a PT, Tim.
Absolute legend, Tim. But he's one of the locals in Brisbane, actually. I've seen him at BGC a few times.
Love you long time, Tim.
Yeah, and the next thing, we have a pretty cool announcement for us. We are getting some commissioned art for our podcast, and that is going to be released in the coming week/month, depending on when we get it. So look out for that on our Facebook page. But any closing comments, gents?
See you all next edition, potentially. Yeah. Depends when they release.
And get an Adeptus chainsaw up your ass. Take it easy.
Marine players for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Catch you guys. See you later.
See you later.
Hey guys, Sal here at BGC. We've been trading on the south side of Brisbane since 2018, providing customers with A-grade products and gaming facilities. Since our establishment, we've strived to stock a diverse selection of products that can be hard to otherwise acquire locally. This includes fantastic brands such as Green Stuff World, Vallejo, Redgrass Games, ModiFX Travel Cases, Winsor & Newton, Chessex, and Liquitex, to name a few. To find us on Facebook, simply search Brisbane Gaming Collective and hit that like button. You can also check us out at our online store, which is www.bgcollective.com.au. You're listening to The Normal Blokes.